And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGI Radio, Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Ken Brown, it's been 2 weeks since we've talked. I've been so lonely.
I know. We had our Super Bowl extravaganza. Well, it was a down.
I guess I'm the one who went.
Right. Yeah. It was a down period, and you know, we had it. But the down period in NFL is like 1 week. The week after the Super Bowl until the combine started. So this was a nice little getaway. But now there's been some action. Some stuff has gone on. We can talk about the NFL combine, which, let me get this out before we even continue. They better not move it, and they need to take those fans out of there because it's just messing up the whole game. It's messing up the whole combine. I don't know why. I truthfully wouldn't pay to sit there to watch it. I don't know why people – what are you getting out of watching a couple of drills and guys run a 40? And maybe
I'm with you on that. I wouldn't either. But, look, it's different for us because it's what we do, so it's different. And we have a different attitude towards it. But I do remember – how secret the stuff used to be. And in fact, in 2007, as I recall, was the first year they actually let the media in. And you had to be, you know, registered and all that. I was in the group that went to watch the quarterbacks. And there were some pretty, you know, strict rules on what we could do, where we could sit, what we couldn't do, and all. And then now it's morphed into what it is. And I think the fans seem to enjoy the weightlifting more than anything else because – I think that's where you hear the most noise.
Yeah, it's a big, long screaming session.
One thing I want to ask you about,
a couple of coaches decided not to go. I think Robert Saleh didn't go, and I believe, if I'm not wrong, McVay didn't go. But I know McVay, they don't have draft picks, so that's probably why he didn't go. But do you think that the head coach gets anything out of being there?
Yeah, he gets something, especially if he's hiring, you know, still hiring his staff. You know, in some ways that used to be almost like a job fair, really. That and really more of the Senior Bowl than the combine. But I think I'd rather be there than not be there if I was a head coach. But I don't think it's mandatory at all. I think Bill Belichick has skipped it sometimes. And seemed to do okay.
He really doesn't draft there. That's a misnomer that one day somebody's going to explore. I don't think Bill Belichick's a great drafter at all.
I'll take the hardware. Okay, you can argue.
No, you can take the hardware, but that's what we're talking about. Don't try to inflate one with the other. He's not a great drafter, Mike. You got to admit that.
I think he's okay. He did pretty well in the sixth.
Michael Harrow, PC sports writer. Okay, fine.
I'm not a sports writer anymore. I'm an observer.
If you write a written word that has football in it, then you're a sports writer. Let's get down to business, man. Let's get down to business.
When we say get down to business, are we getting into the risers and fallers now already?
You can do that if you want to. I'm only concerned with picks 2, 32, and 34, and I'm only concerned with guys that I've heard of. Anybody else, if you're some diamond in the rough from some far off Utah College of Medicine somewhere, I don't want to know about them, okay? let the guys whose job it is find them.
So I guess Christian Watson out of North Dakota State with a 4.3640 is off the board.
Doesn't even
right?
bother me. I don't even know who you're talking about. Didn't see it. And like I said, if you draft him, then I concern myself. This is the funniest thing when we talk about combine and draft. Every year, and all the sports stations do it, they give you these mock draft lists. And the first round guys are usually guys you've heard of. They go into third and fourth round guys the Lions or some guy in the mock draft picks. The Lions are going to pick so-and-so. These guys never make the team or never play for their team. They're picked by somebody else, then you never talk about them again. I remember one year, I can't think of the player's name. It was like Ontario Smith or something. He was mocked to go to the line.
He was mocked to go to the line.
Everybody talked about him for 3 weeks before the draft. Then they didn't pick him, and you never talked about him again in life. So I'm not going to talk about these guys until they get picked, except for the guys we've heard of in the first round. Now, I do want to talk about this, what I saw. The KB look, as I looked through, I'm going to tell you the truth. I watched the quarterbacks work out. I watched the DNs and linebackers work out. And I watched a little of the D-backs, not much. I watched Kyle Hamilton run, and then I turned it off after that. So I saw enough of the position. I saw wide receivers because that was with the quarterbacks. That was enough of the stuff I saw. And I watched most of that, and I got it on tape, and I went back through it. I can tell you.
One thing.
Go ahead.
Well, just for what you watch, you know, Brian Holmes said in his media session with the Detroit media that I think the four positions that he thought were really strong were wide receiver, defensive tackle, safety, and cornerback. I think those were the four that he really looked at. Really thought that they were strong positions. And maybe he might have said offensive line too. And I'm not positive about the safety position, although there are a couple of standout players there. But
I think safety has some good picks. There's some good
absolutely,
depth in safety.
Yeah.
The kid from Georgia. I don't know how they lost the game now. I know they only lost one. But, I mean, with the talent, they just put out that for the seniors. I mean, and the guys who, you know, went junior eligible. I don't know how they lost the one game. I mean, Mike, they were throwing – three guys may be first-rounders on the defensive line. The safety may be a first-rounder. The linebacker might be a first. I mean, come on. That's just the defense.
Well, maybe we'll go back to since the 1967 draft when Michigan State had four players drafted in the top eight.
Okay. We're stopping. We're not going back. We're not going back to 1967. All right? We're not going back. Stop at 1980. We're not going back to 1980. All right. Anything before 1980, we ain't talking about on this show, in this podcast.
Okay.
All right.
If you want to be uninformed, it's up to you.
I'll read a history book if I want to hear about 1967 draft. But nevertheless, my biggest riser. Now, Peter King put out in his Monday morning quarterback, or whatever he calls it now, Football Morning in America, that he thinks Aiden Hutchinson is going to be the number one pick ahead, and the Lions won't get a chance to take him.
Right.
He worked out good. The three cone, he worked out real good.
Really good. He really did.
The only thing about him is he can't get change out of his pocket. His arms are shortened, and he got to carry around a billfold with a chain on it because he can't get in his pocket to get his change.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute,
was the only beef on it. But I'm telling you right now, KB, Ken Brown's risers and fallers, and I'm going to give you a couple of players each. The fallers to me were Kayvon Thibodeau from everything from the neck up and Kyle Hamilton, because I'm sorry, if you're running 4.6, no matter what else you got, you're a risk. And I see T's Tabor, and I just see these guys that can't run. He'll still be a good player, and he'll be a first rounder, but he's not a top five pick to me anymore. Those are my ones that have went down.
He's a safety, not a cornerback, and I had him going to the Lions second overall in my second mock draft, which was titled Mock 2. Pretty clever.
I understand. You may have to rethink that.
You didn't hear. You didn't hear me bragging about that.
You may have to rethink that. And no, hey,
I did watch the head-on on I think it was the NFL Network late at night, and I got to see very little, by the way, on TV because I don't have my cable provider doesn't carry the NFL Network, and they haven't for 2 years, and they're not going to until they change contracts and all that. So I haven't seen a lot of it, but I did see the head-on view of Kyle Hamilton running his 40, and he was all over the board. So he didn't get a true measure of his speed because he didn't run a straight line like everybody else did. I mean, he was off to the right, then back off to the left, and finally back to the middle, and he cost himself, maybe a tenth. So he might have been something like, four or five or something like that.
Okay. So I got to give him the mental problem now. I got a question about his mentality. If he can't
run
straight,
there's nothing wrong
if he
with
can't run
straight,
then I got to mention he got a mental problem then.
The object of
the exercise is to run straight, So anyway.
Well, I guess when he got to the finish there, they had him recite the alphabet backwards, and he was okay.
But like I said, he'll probably play 10 years in the league. He'll probably make a couple of Pro Bowls. I'm not doubting that. But he's not the generational player I thought going in, because if he runs 4.45 or something, I mean a 6.4, and he looked a little – I'm not saying he looked stiff, but he looked a little too tall to me for the position.
He looked too tall.
6'4" is a big ass when you're not a David Fulcher type safety where you're just on the line of scrimmage, a Roy Williams type. When you got to go out and coverage at 6'4", I just think you can be too tall, Mike. I just think you can.
Well, one thing about if you're a long strider and you have trouble changing direction, that's one thing. But I honestly don't know what I saw. I did not see that as an issue with him. But look, let's be honest about something here. When you're out there and there's nobody running, you're just, it's you. There's no wide receiver. There's no, you know, just the opposite of it is being a wide receiver out there or a quarterback throwing against the defense that has no defense.
Right.
They're just throwing to wide receivers. You can throw anywhere you want.
Right. All right, well, let me give you my risers.
Is this going to be that fat guy from Georgia?
No, but he is one of them, but he's not even the first one. I'm talking about the 6'5 guy from Georgia, Mr. Trayvon Walker. And I'm telling you right now, if Hutchinson is gone, I will take Walker before I take Thibodeau. I will take him at number two and not look back. This kid is gone. Now, I do have one question. If he's all that physically, and he didn't have a bad season, he had a good season. But if he is that dominant physically, 4'5", 287, long, 35-inch arms, why didn't you dominate at Georgia? That's the question you got to ask yourself when you're picking. Because physically, he should be he's a good player. He had a good year. Now, they claim it might be because they played him in a different position, played him like sometime in coverage and just to stack the end, which may be true. But, Mike, if you're that physically gifted, you should be dominating.
Well, at Georgia, Kenny, and this is I'm sure this is not a technical term, but there are a lot of pieces of the domination pie. And one man's not going to, you know, they work in concert there. And that's a heck of a defense. And there's a lot of great plays to go around and a lot of great players to make those plays. So, you know, maybe one guy is just not going to, you know,
maybe.
He's not going to
stand
out there.
That's
like,
why I say
the whole unit stands out.
Right.
That's for sure.
That's why I say you got to go back and look at the tape and see what they ask him to do. But, Mike, I have no problem if Hutchinson is not there taking him. I have no problem taking him at two. And my second riser is the guy you were talking about. Big fella, Jordan Davis, D-tackle Georgia, who lost 20-something pounds for the combine. But he was physically all over. I think he jumped almost a 10-something long jump. You know, I mean, not only did he run fast, 4.87 at 3.41. Now, that's another question I got with him. If you're that physically dominant, and you were good in college, very good, but – with those measurables, you should have been a three-down dominator, sideline to sideline player, and he wasn't. So you got to go back and look at the tape on him, because usually he was mostly a two-down player.
Well, they have an awful lot of depth there, Kenny, and they can roll him in and roll him out any way they want. So that's some of that plays to it. But
you know who I see when I look at him?
Oh no, I don't. Jerry Ball,
Sean Rogers.
Sean Rogers?
I see Sean Rogers. I see Sean Rogers in him. I see Sean Rogers in him. And like I said,
that was a great draft. That was a great pick by Matt Mellon. Really,
and the only difference between Jordan Davis and Sean Rogers is Sean Rogers showed up at the combine hurt. Jordan Davis performed. If Sean Rogers would have performed at that combine, he would have went a first round instead of second. I have no doubt in my mind.
I think he had something, a broken foot or something.
Right, he had a broken foot.
The Lions took him with the possibility that he was not going to play his rookie season because of the injury.
Right.
Ended up starting on opening day and led the league in tackles by a defensive lineman.
They cut
that
James Jones
tremendous.
For him the night before the first game because he was
good. They were getting on the bus at Allen Park to go to the airport, and when negotiations didn't get the way the Lions wanted them to, they released him. And you know what? He made exactly the same money without playing.
Yeah, They put Sean Rogers in and didn't look back. They put him in and didn't look back. And like
tremendous,
I said, if you remember,
player.
Sean Rogers showed up at the combine in a wheelchair, remember?
They wheeled him from drill to drill. That's correct.
If he would have, like I said, if he'd have worked out, he'd have been Jordan Davis because he would have put on the show too. So I like all of those guys. I don't necessarily want to take Jordan Davis. I'm all in on Trayvon Walker if Hutchinson's not there. But I can think we both can agree now that after watching Hutchinson work out that – if he's there too, you take him.
If Hutchinson's there, I hit him there in my first mock draft, Kenny. And then you know what you do? You talk yourself out of it. You know, and I go, come on. And then talk. And then this little voice is going back and forth between the two ears in my empty head because there's nothing there to get it, you know, to derail it. And I finally convinced myself that I would like to have Kyle Hamilton. And if Kyle Hamilton was all that, I'd still take him, but I didn't see all that. I something about having a player who can, you know, sideline to sideline play like that just is really enticing to me. But what I saw of Kyle Hamilton, I also saw about a 1 minute clip of his on field workout. Was it Saturday? I think it was Saturday. I mean, you talk about that 3-cone drill or whatever they were doing. He flew around that thing with balance, quickness, leverage, able to get down, get low, the whole thing. that's a terrific football player. And, you know, started at Divine Child in Detroit, and then on to the University of Michigan. What a player.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you get jaded because you've seen a player grow up, and you always think, well, it's got to be somebody better outside our own backyard.
Yeah,
not necessarily.
Sure.
Sometimes there's not a better player outside your backyard. So just take what you got coming, and that's what it is. And I'm all with that. Take him.
What about the thing of the arms, 32.1 inches?
Well, it's going to hurt him in some occasions, and it might be some games where that might hurt him. But I think he's got the skill set. He's a cocky son of a gun.
I'm
turned off by his interviews. He's kind of a jerk. Interview wise,
I'd say confident.
Yeah, but there's a borderline between confidence and a jerk, and sometimes he comes off jerky. And he was just a little too swarmy, you know, this weekend, and a little too cute. But look, we got to deal with it. You know, those athletes all over, you just deal with it, and that's okay if that's the way you want to be. Hopefully, you grow up as you go on, and everybody doesn't need to know how great you are. Okay, you can just do it and don't have to tell everybody.
I think it's Daniel Jeremiah, Kenny, of the NFL Network, said he was the best player in the draft. Doesn't mean he's going to go first or even second. And you never know what other teams are going to do. But, boy, the 4.75 40, was that great? No, it wasn't great. But you know what? They did that comparison 40-yard dash on the NFL Network. I think it was Saturday night or Sunday night. I forget which. And how the two guys from Michigan – Ojabo and
right.
Hutchinson fared against the Boza boys, and they ran faster than both of the Bozas. So
yeah, they did.
But I'd say he's fast enough.
Yeah, but you always got to remember, too, it's not the 40. It's the 10.
It's the 10 yards.
And
yeah,
the 10 was a 1.61, and that's all you need to know. That's a hell of a split for a 6'7 guy.
I guess it was the same as T.J. Watt.
Him and T.J. Watt are similar. There was similar comparison, but Jared Allen is the comparison that comes the most with him. I saw the big comparison, size, speed, the way they ran, everything. Jared Allen, he compares to him. Jared Allen's arms weren't that long either. Jared Allen had over 100 and something sacks in his career. So if he becomes a Jared Allen, then you got a good number two pick.
You know, and look, there's stories that develop at the combine. And you know, look, God love him, you know, because you want to find something different. And this year, going in, it was the hand size of the quarterback from Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett. And then all of a sudden, this bombshell, and here this 6'7 defensive end, edge rusher from Michigan, Hutchinson, his arm length is 32.1 inches. And I think one of the writers, I think it was Kyle Meinke, really gets a lot of this stuff. Kyle went and checked the arm length of the starting defensive lineman for the Lions. And they're all in the 34-inch range. So it is something. But, you know, Kenny, I called a former personnel director who used to work in Detroit, asked him what that meant. And he said, well, first of all, it would be no surprise to anybody because they've scouted the guy for 2 years. So it's not like it hit him, you know, so, oh, my God, what happened to his arms? And number two, shouldn't make any difference in the way he plays because it's just something he's adjusted to his entire career already.
Mm-hmm. Did Kyle Meinke write about the streets of Dearborn Heights that Hutchinson came from?
You know, another guy I'm really interested in, Kenny.
Now, you didn't ask my question. Did he write an article about the streets of Dearborn Heights that Hutchinson came from? I'm not talking about. I'm talking about Hutchinson. I hear Kyle Meinke write an article that way because when he wrote the article about Sauce, it was from the mean streets of Detroit when the kids lived in
the streets of Detroit.
Exact words.
Well, the streets, you know.
The streets of Detroit, like the kid grew up on Livernois in the middle of the eye of the center lane. All right, we're going to stop. Let me say something. We're going to stop this as writers. And if I got to bring it out every time, and I have respect for Kyle or whatever, but if he didn't write the headline, but he did write it in his tweet, you got to stop the poor good times thing from rags to riches, okay? These kids grow up in households, communities that are not the ghetto, and quit saying it. And I'm going to leave it at that, all right? Stop it,
Kenny. You know where I'm talking to you from right now?
The ghetto,
the mean streets of Detroit.
The mean streets of Detroit.
I live 4 blocks from Livernois and 3 blocks from 7 Mile.
That's right. So don't come out of the house.
Is it safe to go start the car?
I was about to say, don't come out of the house, evidently. But anyway, like I said, I'm gonna let.
I think that
I'm going to let that go.
Doesn't he live in the university district?
Somewhere around there. But all I know is that his coach even came on Twitter and said, I take the kid home all the time to a nice four-bedroom house. So he didn't come off some street.
Well, did he say he takes him home or he has to take him home just for his own safety? Guys, I'm joking out there. Come on.
To all the writers out there that will start writing stuff, do better. Please, just do better. Okay? Do better.
So, okay, Kyle does good.
I ain't got no beef with Kyle, but I'm saying do better, okay? Be better. Be better.
Can always do better.
All right, be better.
But, you know, the two guys that interested me were the wide receivers, Christian Watson from North Dakota State, 4.3, 6.40. You know, a guy like that really needed a combine, I think, because they didn't play last year. They had, the 2020 season off because of COVID. I think they played one game for Trey Lance's benefit. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of interested to see how he ran because, you know, when I was doing preparation and all that for my first 2 months, I'd see his name and go, just a kid from North Dakota State. We'll see what he does. And he did pretty well. And then Traylon Burks, there was a guy who was supposed to chew up the combine, and he didn't.
No,
didn't at all.
No. Well, let's talk about
this. That's someone everybody liked, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's talk about this. Quarterbacks were okay, not impressive.
Okay, okay.
If you're taking a quarterback in the top 10 or top 15, you're overdrafting. You better hope for the best. Because if Pickett is your top guy, I looked at Pickett. He reminded me of matter of fact, Jared Goff is better than Pickett and was at the time.
Well, of course he is.
Well, I'm just saying, people want to take one of those guys, and they're not good. They're just not good.
They're good.
I'm talking about for the pros, not good for college or good coming in or good as prospects.
I'm talking about
a quarterback that can come in and play for you in the first 2 years. I don't see one.
Well, he'll play for you in the first 2 years if you need him to, you know.
I'm talking about if you're trying to win a game. Well, I'm talking if you're trying to win a game.
The 49ers didn't need Lance.
Yeah, but
except for that one game.
Lance would be the best quarterback in his class if he was in his class. The Jordan Love would be the best quarterback in his class if he was in his draft. They would be the best quarterback by far. These quarterbacks aren't good. They're not good.
Well, listen, I warmed up to Malik Willis. I really did. In my second mock draft, I had him going to the Lions at 32.
32 is fine for a pick. That's the guy you put on the bench for a couple years until he's ready to go. But I'm talking about these guys are going to go in the top 15. I guarantee you two of these guys go in the top 15. And they're not ready. I was looking at Pickett. I was looking at Pickett. You know, forget about the 2-inch hand size he's got. His arm is average. He's okay. He's a fifth-year player who didn't really develop to his last year.
Pickett?
Yeah, you think you're going to come in the league and you think the guy who for 4 years didn't do anything and in his fifth year he has a good year and all of a sudden he's just going to come in the pros and start tearing it up? No, it's not going to happen.
Well, look at the kid drafted by the Jets, second overall, out of Brigham Young. He didn't tear it up either.
That's right. What kind of season did he have?
He got hurt a little bit.
The MO on him in college? He got hurt in college because he ran around and didn't get rid of the ball and stay out of the pocket. Everything that happened to him in the pros was his MO from college. So, like I said, if the Lions at 32 or 34, if Willis is there, I'm fine with it. But I ain't trying to hear about moving back up to get him. I was at first until I saw the workouts. And he's the only one that, to me, even looks like potentially. Maybe Desmond Ridder is physically good.
No.
I said physically good. Yeah. He ran fast. He did it. But none of those guys are ready. None of them. Now, I said bad stuff about the quarterback. I'll tell you what. You're going to get a good wide receiver at 32 if you want one. Because there's about 8 or 9 of those guys. Well, I'm just saying, I'm talking about if you want to do one in the first round. It'll be a good guy there. Olave might be there. It's some guys there.
Look, I had Olave going to the Lions with my first mock draft, and I think that was 27. Then I had him going higher than that, like 22 or something in my second mock draft. Look, it was really cool to me seeing those two guys from Ohio State just one click apart, Garrett Wilson, and then Olave. One ran 4.38. That one ran 4.39. Kind of wonder why Ohio State seems to win everything, eh? Well, you see why. Yeah. The players they get.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, the evolution of football in the last 15 years or whatever, there's 8 receivers coming out every year. I mean, that play. And I think you even didn't you do something on that about the receivers before Amon St. Brown and after the catches or whatever?
Well, you know, yeah, here's the thing with Amon St. Brown. I think he was the 15th receiver drafted, something like that. And they took him, what, 120th overall? That's off the top of my head right now. 18 receivers were drafted after Amon-Ra St. Brown last year. That was the fourth round we're talking about. He caught 80 passes as a rookie. The next 18 guys did not catch 80 passes or 90 passes combined. I think that's a pretty sharp two things. That's a pretty sharp pick by Brad Holmes that took the right guy who was left in that pool when there were 19 of them who got drafted, and he took the right one. And then, of course, opportunity presented itself for St. Brown in a way it didn't to most of the other guys drafted below him, and took advantage of it. Kind of a slow start, a little bit of question about his ability, but boy, he came on the last six or seven games.
Yeah, even Michael Harris came around on that one because I still got the tape.
Yeah, I did.
The first half of the season. But that's what you should be, though. These guys are rookies. They come around.
What they don't.
I'm saying they all should come around. They should. It's rare you get a rookie just come in right away. Those are rare when they come in and just dominate from the beginning. Those are special players. But most rookies are like Brown. You get acclimated, then you start to get better.
And I think it helps a guy like St. Brown, who played at Southern Cal, I think playing in a big-time program with a lot of eyeballs on you. I think Southern Cal still is not what it once was, but still a big item out there on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And I think he benefited from that. He comes from a sporting background.
And he was a top 10 high school recruit. I mean, he's had eyes on him all his life. So, you know, he was used to
it. I don't think we've seen the best of St. Brown either. I think you'll see a better player in 2022. He might catch 65 passes and not catch 90 and be a better player.
I see Hines Ward in him. If he has a career like Hines Ward, I'll be appreciative. I think that's
the
main
guy. As tough as Hines Ward.
Yeah, but he's a tough little cat.
1,000 career catches.
I know, but he's a tough little cat, too. And I think that's who his game reminds me of. One other thing. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell talked over the week. I don't want to go long on this, but just out of what you heard from them this week and what they're looking for, forget about the first round pick. What is the second position? Or give me three positions that you think they're looking for. And in free agency coming up, which we're going to talk about next week, because by the end the franchise tags will be on and then we'll have free agency going.
Well,
what position do you think they're going to go for in free agency?
Yeah, a week from now it might not be life as we know it, though, because now don't tell anybody. I don't want to scare people, but Aaron Rodgers is supposed to make up his mind in the next 48 hours. So it may not be life as we know it.
Drama queen. You know what? He does that. I don't want to get up to the subject, but he does that when he has poor playoff games. He makes drama. He did it last year, and all they talked about was him quitting or whatever last year, so nobody talked about that bad playoff game he did, and he's doing it again this year. You're not talking about that game in Green Bay anymore. All you're talking about is Aaron Rodgers and what he wants. He's a drama queen. He's scared to throw the ball because he doesn't want interceptions. He plays it safe, and everybody's catching up to him now. Good riddance if he leaves.
Yeah, I think, you know, just to go back to what Brad Holmes said when he spoke to the media down there in Indianapolis, he talked about four positions, and I think the Lions could benefit from all of them. One is obviously wide receiver. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions took two. Now, that depends on what they get in free agency, but I don't see anybody really in free agency that you want to spend with a limit on. I think you can help yourself, but I don't think you can cure all of your ills in free agency. And neither can you in the draft. But I think that, and I think defensive tackle would be a good place, wide receiver. And to me, the neediest position on the team is safety. It really is. And this is a deep draft for safeties. I think they can help themselves there too.
Yeah, and if Tracy Walker don't come back, that's all okay with me. I'm just letting y'all know that now. I like him, but I'm saying this love affair with Tracy Walker, he's okay. And if for the right price, he can come back. But if you lose him, I don't think you have to shut everything down over in Republic Drive and Allen Park. You know, I don't think the season's lost. So
no,
you know,
I would agree with that.
If he wants to come, that's fine. But like I said, I want to. If you can go out and get you another safety, even if he comes back, I would do it. And they say my man Diggs is going to be ready to go in June. I'm sure he's not going to get a lot of money since he got hurt. But I wouldn't mind bringing him back. Wouldn't mind bringing him back at all.
I wouldn't. I think the injury is more severe than your than you, you
well,
think
you're
it
not
is.
Gonna sign him until he's running again. But I'm just saying, if it's a bone injury, better than ligament injuries. A bone injury is much better than ligament injuries. Always has been. So we'll see.
Well, it depends on the severity of the
injury.
Well,
like I said, we'll see. We'll see. But keep him in mind. I mean, I'm not saying he's your first pick to bring back, but like I said,
I mean, look, he never should have left. Really,
right, never should have left. And he did. All right, Mike, well, that's going to be a wrap for this week, unless you got anything else to say about the weekend review from the combine.
Well, actually, I was just starting. I was just getting warmed up.
Well, we're 45 minutes into warming up. So.
Okay. What is this, baseball?
Yeah, it's a baseball. That's right. 15-second pitch clock, baby. If you don't make your point in 15 seconds, we move on. So we'll talk next week about the free agency and everything. A little more draft. We'll be talking draft from here on out because evidently every week something's going to happen. I just heard that Matt Stafford might be getting a $45 million a year contract.
Is he really?
That's what they're talking about now, which might be woo. That's a might he if this happens and he gets say a 3 or 4 year extension at 45 apiece. When he retires, he will have made the most money at that point than any player in history. Because he was the last one in, basically, on that the year before the last one in on the big contract. Right, but Bradford retired and didn't get a second contract. So he was the last big guy that played a long time from the old system. Then he got a second contract, and I believe this is his – is this his third now or is this second?
I think it's his fourth.
This will be his fourth coming up, but he had two with Detroit.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's –
He had three in Detroit.
Well, the one he signed as a rookie, and I mean he had two – signing
two extensions, big ones.
If this is true, he is gonna make the most money of anybody up to this point. So, and he got a Super Bowl, so at least you can say he won it.
Don't tell him Ndamukong Suh.
And I saw him at the Lakers game for all you have. And LeBron
cool.
goes up
that,
to him and says, I knew you were coming out, so I had to put on a show. So that's all of you Stafford haters, even LeBron. Giving accolades to Stafford and Kelly in the front row, so let it go.
In fact, I saw him shake hands after the game.
Right, let
cool.
it go. All right, Mike, we'll talk next week. Big week ahead for the NFL.
I hope we talk next week because I got to walk to the car here in a couple of minutes.
Oh, yeah, the mean streets, man. Stay out of those mean streets.
I don't know if I can make it.
If you see Sauce out there playing three car Molly on one of those corners out there, tell him that the writers won't be saying anything bad about him, so don't cut anybody, okay?
Wait a second. There's one good step here already. My car is still in the driveway.
Yeah, but it's early. It's early. All right, that's Michael here at DetroitLives.com. Check out his writings and videos, whatever else they do over there. And Ken Brown, WGR Radio, 760 Afternoons on the Mitch Albom Show. See ya.